We'll pause.
All right, we are now ending our closed session. It is 3:03 p.m. on June 17th. And just to clarify for the recording that we have had Richard Stoll in with us today, as well as Jody Sundberg from Alpine. They have been conducting our board, our superintendent and business administrator evaluation as our guests, and they were there for part of that session, as well as Zane Wilson-Hume and Marshall Garrett of Dayton Hunter were also in with that. And now we are going to close this closed session. I already did that, and go into regular session. Okay, first thing is discussion on master boards. Do we have, I think we pretty much covered that during our open session. Any other questions about that?
Yep. I think you did a really nice job, and so did Jody. That was good.
Yeah, I think so. I think. And so did Jim.
6 months later.
I didn't
I
just
didn't get on the stupid thing and get it done.
I'll do that.
Was that when you came in high school? I tried at home and tried at home, and finally when you put this other one, this power up is the password, you get in.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what's been the problem.
Okay.
Well, we'll keep working on that, and then hopefully in January we'll all be able to get our MBA 1 and 2 awards. We'll be able to wear the blue ribbon and whatever color ribbon they
That's
have.
The only thing I have to do is that, because I'm at 94%. So.
That's fantastic.
And you're all done, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And we will keep working on Keyworks, Lynn, and... Oh, Anne had the wrong book. So we've got new, and Jim didn't have...
You have the 2009...
Keyword?
I have the old one that I had.
Okay, we've got a new one for you. It's a whole different little bit.
Well, I have the original one when I come on board. Keyworks of Keyboard Membership or something.
But it's
a 2009. It's a 2009.
Red?
Yeah, mine was red. It's solid.
All red, yeah.
So we're getting you a new one so everyone has the same. Chapters 1, 2, 3.
Then we'll read that and study that in our work session as soon as that comes.
So we have to read that book to pass the second.
That's part of the second.
The new book.
Yeah.
E-I-S.
Yeah. We were doing that at our last work session until Jim couldn't find his, and Anne brought hers, but hers was the old version.
So I don't know where Anne probably got it at the same time I did.
Three small ones.
So Stacy's ordered a new one.
So we're supposed to get rid of the old one, or do you want to buy it?
You can get rid of the old one.
Or keep it for your sentimental reasons.
Sentimental?
Mm-hmm.
Will you autograph it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, so let's have discussion on our belief statement. Jim.
I went to a session at the National School Board's meeting, and the one presentation that we got was from Middle Tennessee State, and he looked at I looked at what they said, and I thought, well, the stuff they talked about would apply directly to our belief statements, I think. And so I'm going to spend just a few minutes going through this, talk about one of the statements I took out of that I thought was kind of interesting. They made this statement, they didn't ever really talk about it after they made the statement, but I still like it, my statement, is that true accountability in education should not be simply linked to mechanical examination results. Results we get from, which we end up doing. You know, we get all the results and we look at them and we evaluate everything on the basis of that. For there is a very distinct danger that the pedagogical methods employed to attain those results will themselves be mechanical, and the education of children will be so much worse because we end up having the teachers forcing themselves to teach to the concepts of the tests so the kids will do well on the test. And then the kids become mechanical as opposed to thinking adults. And the new core is designed to move us beyond that to thinking, to think about how to solve problems, not just, well, the right answer is 2 + 2 = 4. It's a lot different than that for math and for science and technology. So I think that's a nice statement. And then they talked about the value of evidence-based accountability. for school boards. And so this is about accountability and points out the obvious. We're usually not educators and mostly rely on educational professionals to select the direction we're going. And so we, as board members, we kind of depend on the educational system to say, well, this is what we have to do educationally. And we go, okay, that makes sense, and we learned something about it. But and we need help and guidance to make decisions, which we do. And most measurements based on test results never ties directly back to real knowledge of the student. So what the kid knows is not really revealed by test result. And I get students in my courses at the university can answer my questions, and I'll say to them, so what does that mean? And they'll go, what do you mean? Well, how does that apply to what you're going to be doing? Well, I don't know. Well, okay, so why are you learning this crap if you're not going to apply it to something you're really going to do? And they have to think about it in a different way. It becomes a different kind of learning process when you do that. And that's what the core is supposed to do. And so evidence-based accountability has a relationship to our relationship to the community, because we have these belief statements. But if I said to you, okay, what are our belief statements? And I said, well, I can't quite remember what they are, but they're really, really good. I mean, I'll go get them and we can read it to you and then we can figure it out and go, well, that's not useful. If we can't say what we believe without having to go back and look at it, we don't know what we believe. And our schools don't know what we believe. And so when we start talking to them, we look at the belief statements and say, well, what are those? Remember we came out and talked to you about the belief statements? Oh, I wasn't paying attention during
that. Or I wasn't here yet.
Or I wasn't here yet. Or I don't quite understand how they relate to me. And so we're not, and then we don't ever talk about it again. And so as a consequence, they're not becoming really part of who we are. It's sort of out there, belief statements. And so this concept was to model. I want you to like to model. And I think we've done some of these things. I think we've tried very hard. Planning phase, where we went out and we did the what counts, and we went to the community and got what they thought we ought to be doing and what we thought we ought to be doing. We got administrators involved. We generated these wonderful belief statements. And that was, we developed those, we understood the problems we had, and we understood the goals we wanted to get. We got a plan. We went out and presented this to each of the schools individually, and we did a great job there, but we never really committed anybody to these. Nobody's really committed to the belief statements except us in words, but we're not committed because we don't really know what we believe, and we're not really good at communicating our goal. We don't consistently make it part of what we are. It's there, but not really ever really brought into our conversation. And the focus play, the rest of that we didn't do because we didn't do the commitment phase, which I think is interesting.
How do we check progress if we didn't know what progress was going to be?
That's right.
To show that we had done it.
That's right. And so the presenters talked about these five areas. When they look at stuff that's going on in their schools, they classify them under five areas. And they had one word for them. I thought, great word, great idea. And they had achievement, safety, communication, resources, and budgeting and training. And everything they talk about when they do an agenda relates to those five things. And so they can come back to them every time they meet. And somebody brings up an idea, well, let's see, this talked about, oh, that's talking about achievement. Oh, that's talking about school safety. Or that's talking about how we communicate with our, or that's, and I thought, well, couldn't we use those words and fit them to our belief statements? So I began looking at our belief statements and tying it to those words to see if they might work. And I'm not saying they are the right words, but they made sense to me. So I looked in at belief one. We believe that school district must be staffed with teachers and administrators who are highly qualified and experts in implementing research-based instruction, meaningful curriculum, and assessing students in a reliable and valid manner. We struggled over every single word, right?
Yeah, all were very important. Three or four different things to get all that in there.
Well, I thought, look at that, that's really training.
But is it really?
Well, that's what I mean. Is that the word we could use to capture the meaning? Because I thought, well, how does that relate to training? Well, if we don't train our people to be highly qualified, I mean, we get people who are highly qualified from the university. They've been highly qualified. They passed all their examinations, and they did their student teaching. They're highly qualified, best we could do. But we know it takes more than that. It takes additional. And of course, the legislature's taken away that money to do that. So we've had to think of creative ways to do that training. And again, this year you got a couple of days built into the schedule so we can have that. That's why. Well, because we want to train our people to be highly qualified experts in providing services. So I thought, well, if I think of training and I think of it in those terms, we're about the business of training our teachers to be highly qualified experts. Evaluation, curriculum. Teaching,
curriculum.
If I, that just allows me to think about it and then say, that's the belief statement. Training. We believe that our teachers need to be highly qualified, and that means this to us.
All staff.
But we're training. We want everybody to be trained. We have to train him. We have to train him a little bit. We train her. But yeah, and we all train each other. You know, that's what we're about. So I like the word. It captures the essence. And if I say training, then I can begin putting that into that belief state. Okay? And then I go to the next one. Hello. Resources. When I looked at this, this doesn't quite fit, but I've thought about it. We believe that education needs to be focused on individual students as much as possible, and that appropriate learning avenues are provided to reach and challenge all learners, including gifted and talented special education and students from different cultural backgrounds. And I thought, well, that's hard. Doesn't that take money? If you don't have resources for that, you don't do that. You don't provide gifted and talented.
It's not always just money, resources either, though.
Plus,
we believe in the staffing and the other things, the human talent.
That's right. But if I use the
resources
word resources, that allows me to capture that essence so I can remember it. So if I don't even think it's important to remember necessarily the word that fits, if it allows us to capture the belief statement. So I'm going to talk about it now, why I think this works good for me at least. So let me get through this and we'll talk more about it. Then, achievement. We believe in a culture of excellence in which the expectation of student achievement is high, and where there are world-class opportunities provided by which excellence and improvement can be demonstrated. And so I put the word achievement there, which I want a world-class education for all my students. And I want to make sure they have every opportunity they can go. And I like that. So I thought, well, that kind of works. Or communication. We believe that parental and community involvement is critical in the decision-making process in the district, and that parents need to be kept informed through multiple lines of communication. Communication meant that's what I want, what the essence is. I want to communicate to my community. I want to be able to communicate. When we talk about morale, that's communication. I need to communicate the good things we're doing. The great things we've been talking about this morning is I have to figure out how to be more positive about Logan City School District. I go downtown, I see Aggies every place. Everybody knows the Aggies. You know, right? Grizzlies. And maybe that's because we've got Mountain Crest and we've got Skyview. Pretty soon we're going to have whatever the name of the other two high schools are on the area. Well, I think we ought to have people in this, in Logan City saying, I'm a Grizz, I'm an Aggie. So they have that as part of their concept, the community. Understand, we're communicating to the community what it is, and to our parents and to everybody else about what we have, and we're using multiple lines of communication. So that made sense to me. Safety. We believe that it's the district's responsibility to provide a safe, caring, orderly, positive environment in which both physical and emotional security abounds, and both students and staff feel appreciated and respected. Wow, it's a wonderful statement, but it's about feeling safe. When I go to school, I feel safe there, I feel appreciated, I feel acknowledged, the thing that Connie brings up a lot, that teachers don't feel appreciated. They don't feel like we appreciate. Well, we believe we do that, then we ought to be doing that. And we believe in safety for children. We're installing all kinds of things to try to keep our kids safe. You know, that word then captures that concept. And then we end up with a mnemonic. Tracks. Okay? Then training, resources, achievement, communication, safety. And I think, okay, are we tracks? Are we on tracks? And I think, well, what's training? Well, training is about
teacher quality.
Okay. And I'm thinking about resources. What am I thinking about?
Student education.
Now I'm thinking about achievement. So if I think of those words, it ought to trigger those five belief statements. And so we bring up, what are we doing in tracks, Superintendent? What are we doing in tracks? How are we tracking our students? And we then become part of what we do, as opposed to saying, if you have these belief statements, this does that for me.
Fantastic.
The words aren't perfect, but they capture the concept, in essence.
You know what? It says so much more. I mean, I love the phrase, a culture of excellence, but what does it mean? You know, and I love it, and I'm not saying it can't be part of the logo, but when you say that tracks, okay, when you list those five things, it really says exactly what our schools are, what our district is all about.
Why do you feel the words aren't perfect?
Well, because they don't have all the stuff in it. But the thing I want us to do, if we get the word to tie to the meaning.
What does training mean?
Yes.
And then take it out of that belief statement, because like I said, with resources, it's not just money.
No.
Resources are so many more things, and they're there. And safety is that feeling, as well as that we don't have bad guys coming in.
That's right.
Physical and emotional.
So, I think it's an interesting concept to think of tracking our agenda after these. So, really what we're doing, I mean, maybe not necessarily in that order, but all of the recognition and stuff that we do. I mean, that's all about achievement.
We can make cards.
And just about every, I think everything we do fits into there, and maybe we should design our agenda around that somehow.
Well, one of the school districts that we went to, were you there? Or was it? I can't remember. But they had on their agenda, because that's one thing that we're going to say to them working on anyway, is they, after every agenda item, it says discussion on master boards would qualify for the training. In parentheses, it says training, resources, you know, whatever that item on the agenda covers, it says the word that's part of what Jen's talking
and
about.
And something like recognizing a teacher, that could be both training and achievement and communication,
sure,
because we're celebrating a good thing.
That's right. But again, it allows us an avenue to get back to our belief statement. So they become part of what we do in this district, becomes and captured with those single words, as opposed to trying to remember all the words. If I want to know them all, I can go back, but I can remember the essence now of what each of those five statements are about.
The mnemonics is wonderful. I like it.
How would it work if you had those belief statements in that mnemonic on the bottom of every board agenda, and then every item on the agenda had a T and an R, A, C, or S something by it?
And like you said,
it's a way of communicating for everybody.
that helps us also, I think, to when people say, so what's going on with the school district? How's the school district? You immediately think TRACS, and you hit one of those.
Lauren, I think it's a good idea.
Well, and I can see how that could be put on, here's, you know, building a culture of that or whatever, and then we have, and then I can even see perhaps a train track or multiple train tracks or something, because then it's that visual of, you know, tracking.
They have to put a K in there, put kitchen or something.
And he is a train man. Yeah, sure. The engineer would come up with tracks, wouldn't he?
You could change that to carts or scrapped.
You could.
You could
write tracks.
Would be down list of words consistently. Training resources to communication.
Well, yeah, but if you did our logo, I'm talking about the logo.
That would be part of it.
That would
be below it. Building a culture of
excellence. Building the culture of excellence through TRAC. Yes.
And I believe Logan City School District tracks everything we do, that type of thing.
Building a culture of excellence.
It's so much easier to remember those now.
Yeah. Well, and if you think about.
If you just go through, because if I had to sit down and. Well, I'm sure we could all come up with them, but it's so hard to pull those words and those each one of them. But you know, now you look at each one of them and you can just joke us out.
And you won't forget it after this meeting either. You'll just think, yeah. You know, that's what they say.
What I love is rereading our release statements, and those are really good. They're still really good. We did a very good job.
No, we spent a lot of time on them.
And they're
still
very, very good.
Viable.
I don't think they're
as viable as they were when we did before.
Do you think that we'll have some resistance on training not being teachers, number one?
But it's teacher training.
I know. I'm just asking if people will normally think the T should stand.
Sure, they'll normally think that. But those letters can mean anything. Yeah. But what we need to do is attach it to the meaning we want it to have.
Our trigger.
Training is like we want, we have a well-trained workforce or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And the ones who provide them with support and teachers, this and this, and that goes back to track.
Yeah.
I look at just what we do today with these two gentlemen, and a lot of what we could have, you know, what they've done well, and what we'd like them to do, you can almost place those into communication, resources.
No, that's what I'm saying.
We're training our staff.
It just allows us a way, a place where you can put your memory so that it works a little better for you. And we can feel good, you can feel good about that we are really doing what we believe.
And
on a regular and continuous
basis. We can start monitoring it instead of this nebulous morale stuff.
How much flexibility do we have through board book, Stacy, on adding things?
I can get with everything in 3-5 minutes or
something. Very good. Wow. Because that's been, you know, we just need to figure out a way to have that.
Very
okay. It's good though.
Well, Stacey and I talked about changing the agenda up a little bit anyway, because it's, we kind of worked on that for a little while now.
So finances would come under resources,
come up with
right?
Yeah.
Right. And the thing is like, because in order for us to do what it says under there, we provide the resources to do that.
That's
right. And the achievement is we provide the opportunities for that achievement and for that progress.
We believe in a culture of excellence. We
right.
believe that.
Right.
And those beliefs.
See, that's where I go. You say building a culture of excellence through training, resources, achievement, communication, and safety. TRAC, and then you can have like a T big and then small, you know, a little whatever it stands for.
You know, it would be nice to, you know, to get this out to all the employees there. You know, you have a card that is as laid over and protected, and you have this on the front, then you could have on the back side what each was, what each one of those belief statements to tie right into it, you know.
How about something to stick on your car?
You know, you laminate them so that they're, you know, just something fits and.
We should do card stickers, yeah, like the Tom Simpson does.
Fantastic work, Jim. That's, I think you've got all the items from everybody. Yay! I did that. Yes, yeah. Very good.
I think it deserves a round of applause.
Any other questions for Jim on that? Very good. I think that'll get the ball rolling. And Connie and I will be working on the logo, and maybe we can incorporate that a little bit.
Will you want to just go ahead and go? You can take a few minutes for it.
Okay.
I really apologize. I did not have that on my calendar last time I said that to Stacy. I had no idea we had it scheduled. I apologize. So do you know when the next one is?
No.
Okay.
I'm not scheduled. Okay, so now we're going to report out quickly on our NSBA conference, and let's start with Connie.
I don't remember much of it. Now, are we talking
about
going
experience.
To San Diego?
Yes.
Yes, okay. I thought that the opening speaker was really good.
Perfect.
I appreciate all of the assistants. I appreciate the superintendent. You know, and I appreciate the people who raided my underwear and my
suitcase. We did it together.
Yeah.
And everything. So.
One of the neat things is we're family. And family. So.
Oh yeah, but some family know things that they don't say out loud. You know, that would be embarrassing. Please do not think that I'm not being held hostage.
Because
I am.
Okay.
Zane. Well, I thought what Gene and Dave talked about was really quite interesting. If we add women to Congress at the same rate that we are right now, in 500 years we'll have parity.
We'll have parity.
Yeah,
that's right.
And when I thought about it, I thought of John Wayne and Rooster Cogburn when he turned to Wolf and said, "If they ever give him the vote, heaven help us."
I remember,
yeah. See, saving money by renovating for 21st century learning. Teach how to innovate versus how to operate. Teach how to be creative.
I know they it's having a really hard time from everything we have.
I noted seven steps. Seven steps for schools and districts to move forward in the 21st century. One was adopt a vision. Two, community consensus. Align systems. Build professional capacity. Focus on curriculum and assessment. Support your teachers. Prepare and innovate. That has a lot to what we're talking about with our belief statements. It's kind of, I mean, it's about staying on track, right? I kind of like the four B's of the Baptist preacher. Be brief, brother, be brief.
Be brief, brother, be brief.
Went to one on bond presentation. And they talked a little bit about vested voters versus non-vested voters. And I think it's important that that we focus our efforts in getting people out to vote on the best of voters, because they're the ones that actually will, I think, be our support group. The non-vested voters, I think, will be more inclined to not be supportive. And there's getting to be more and more a perception, I think, probably as much to do with my generation as any generation, but if they don't have kids in school,
they don't want to pay for it.
They don't want to pay for it. And I think even some of the older generation has forgotten what their parents, what their families did for them. And I think that's an obstacle we're going to have to strategize about as we try to overcome that.
Well, it's also the whole belief about how basic education is to our democracy. That everybody has a right and a need to be educated. Everybody.
Right.
And it's not just for the wealthy, it's not just for the elite, it's for everybody.
Public ed is the great equalizer.
Yeah. So I've got some pretty copious notes on the bond thing.
Could you send me the 7 steps for moving districts ahead?
Yeah, I'll just copy this for you. Engaging the community on a grassroots level, that was important. Having weekly messages going out on topics every week, using social media, engaging the staff, educating community, some of these are duh things, taking full advantage of social media, have a vote yes committee. I think we need to get some clarity in what we can and can't do. I'm thinking we can probably do more than we think.
I agree,
yeah.
Because we aren't limited as much as I think we think we are.
So we just need to make sure we get clarity on that. And maybe, I think we've got lots of resources to tap that, but I think we ought to make sure we understand what we can and can't do and have something to back us up. So, and then take full advantage of what we can. They said they pulled out all the stops. Nothing was held back in reaching out. There was a vision, trust and verify, a united effort, hard work, passion. Those are some of the things that they talked about. I went to a thing where they talk about avoiding legal liability, 10 steps for avoiding legal liability. Know the boundaries of your authority. Focus on the board's policy-making role. Establishing rules and procedures. Board role concerning violence in the school and school security. Address mental health issues in the school environment. Working with the community to ensure school security. All that was under focusing on the board's policy-making role. It felt like those things were important. Adhere to student discipline policies. Understand the staff discipline process. Review and adhere to policies on holiday celebrations. I guess in some states, they run into issues of
big time.
Hanukkah and Christmas and all of them to deal with it. Be familiar with log gathering, board meetings. That has to do with our open meetings, but I think USBA does a great job in trying to teach us that. And the legislature actually has mandated annual training. Guard against nepotism and conflicts of interest. That's a big deal, I think, in smaller districts. But something we have to be vigilant of here, I think. Understand ethical considerations for Board of Education members. Clarify the roles of board members and the superintendent. And plan your superintendent search carefully. Confidentiality is a key. Consider a search consultant. Those are things that we can start looking at in 4 or 5 years. You're going to stick around a long time.
So this year,
those are some of the notes that I kept. Some of them ones I've been to. And I appreciate the opportunity to go. It was very important.
Very good. Thank you, Zane. Lynn.
I have all my notes in my other book. I didn't put them on this, and I'm just sitting here trying to remember. I can't remember. I apologize.
Well, you can report at our next board meeting. How's that?
That's great.
Ann.
You should have all just received an email from me. I sent to you an email on turning low-performing schools into high-poverty schools into high-performing schools. And we know we have high-poverty schools. The first thing they had us do, and you'll see if you can pull up the handout, is they had us go around and celebrate the good things, a bright spot in our district, and you put a sticker on every time you said something positive, could share with it. That's maybe something we want to do with our teachers. You know, let's share something positive with each other, get to know each other and share something positive of what's happening in your department or in your school or whatever. And they fill in their thing. There's a circle, all students learning to high standards, and then there's some different cogs in that. Spheres of influence, school culture, actions. And you'll see, and I didn't send this one to you because it came back, everybody in mail order Damon, but all of you should have received this. It has a nice graphic about what we need to do, and then it has a worksheet that you fill out, barriers to fostering a healthy, safe, and supportive learning environment. And this question, are we perpetuating underachievement? What have we eliminated? And it goes through kind of what we've seen with some of our other things, no action yet, setting the stage, getting started, people aware of the counterproductive nature of the mindset, mm-hmm. policy, structure, or practice, urgency's been developed, and then gaining momentum and sustaining gains. So it goes through those, and then you fill out this form. And the counterproductive mindsets and practices it talked about, and just think of these with our district. Lack of school safety. Lack of understanding of the effects of poverty on learning and achievement. That's a training issue. You know, do we understand the poverty culture? Lack of trust between our staff and students. Lack of trust between our staff and parents and families. Lack of positive school, family, home, and community relationship. Failure to establish a needs-based approach for all students. Ineffective transitions. Inattention to student mobility. You know, we have done some things like our literacy model that though it was painful getting it through, we all did the same things in every one of our schools because of our student mobility. And then inappropriate use of interventions of suspension and expulsion. I think we've seen a change in our high school. Trying to, what can we do to keep kids in school, not punish, but to provide positive interventions. And then it goes into a progress indicators evidence. Do we have structures and processes for fostering this healthy, safe, and supportive learning environment? I'd like you, when you can open it, I don't know if you've been able to, because it seems to be down here part of the time, but it's a good thing for us to review because we want all of our schools to be high-performing, and I think that's one of the things we do well and we need to celebrate more and let people know more about is look at some of the issues we are dealing with now in my almost 17 years on the school board that we weren't dealing with when we first started. And yet the amazing thing our teachers are doing, the amazing things and how we're connecting to parents and, you know, we need to talk about all of those in a positive light. Another one I went to that I'd like you all to get involved with is if you don't know about the Common Core. I love this class because we actually went in, we downloaded an app that had all the Common Core. And they gave us a piece of poetry and said, you are sixth grade teachers, this is a piece of poetry. You are going to look through this, you're going to teach these items with this piece of poetry. And I was with the North Summit superintendent, and the two of us worked through it, and it was just amazing. Of course,
with me being an English major, it was really up my alley. And then he and I kind of did a math thing, which was a little harder for me to really be understand. But I think I went into the Utah Core rather than telling you which apps to download. I went to the State Office of Education site. I'd like you all to do that. There's one whole document about why Utah's core, and some negative things, some positive things, and why we have Utah's core. And then you can go into those specific, you know, for fourth grade, it's these are the things that are in the core. I believe we all need to be understand the core. We need to be advocates like Tammy Piper did in her article. And if you don't have a copy of that Utah policy article that she did, it was outstanding. And one thing that I recommended to the legislative committee this past week, I had an email from Patty a few months ago about how different groups have come out and made a statement of that they support the Common Core. And as many of us know, that the Republican State Convention wants to eliminate Common Core. Number one, we need to get educated. Number two, I've requested that the legislative committee make a statement and that it's on our legislative priorities this year that we reaffirm, and we decided we don't want to affirm support because we don't want them to think we're just jumping on board. And the superintendents are going to talk about it later this week, and then when the legislative committee meets on the 27th, and I'll probably write a few possible, so that we at the delegate assembly, and we will have a few, Jody said that of their board, they have at least three who are anti-Common Core, of course she's in Utah County, so, but that we need, number one, we need to get educated, and number two, we need to be able to tell people why it's good and what it is, and that at the delegate assembly, very likely one of our planks will be that we, you know, so that we know whether we fight the legislature's efforts to get rid of it or whatever. And I'm thinking of writing something like we support the State Board of Education's constitutional right or responsibility to choose, you know, and then the whether it's taught, the standards that are taught to in the state, and that with local boards of education and maybe provide examples of we're able to choose how it's taught and our educators are able to choose what is taught and how it's taught.
Right.
Those are the standards local board and educators provide the what is taught.
I went to that academy, I went to the Core Academy for 3 days in English, and you're absolutely right. And the thing is that if you have to understand, you know, I know we have this little card here that I think Tammy Piper gave us, okay, but and that's really good too. I have lots and lots of stuff on the Common Core if anybody wants just like a small thing to understand it. But if you just take, like, answer, okay, if you just even go through, even if you haven't taught and you go through one lesson, and you see what it does exactly what Jim has been talking about, is it not, it's not just memorizing a bunch of facts and saying a bunch of stuff, it is analytical, it is critical, it is thinking, it is teaching, that's what the skills it's teaching, and it fits so with our mission statement, it really does.
Would that be a possible subject for a future agenda item, is have a Common Core, but I don't know if that's opening a Pandora's box.
But, you know, no, I think it could be some board training. And we
sorry,
could,
Utah Core
and actually, I think we could,
we could
have it in such a way that it appears, here's what, a report from the Core Academy, or the third grade teachers, here's how we're implementing Utah's Core.
I think that the more we can keep it in a positive line, I mean, we're getting calls now, you're daughter-in-law got it. My daughter's friend got this horrible
you're
thing.
You're an evil mother if you don't
yeah,
if
you're
not.
If
you have the big book on Common Core.
Yes.
The really big. Okay.
So we, but we just, right. I think, as part of our board, if we have that as one of those things that we're doing through a work session or in board meeting, where we're talking about core standards and then how we're implementing things at the, really emphasizing what we're doing at the local level on the curriculum. This is what this relates to in our curriculum. This is what we're doing.
This is what the third grade
in that big book that you could just take right out And it would just, you know, I'm going to go, I'll go through it too. Okay, so it just basically says, answers all the questions, and then you just fill in it yourself, you know, every other sentence. So, now, we will do this, we choose this, we choose this. But
anyway. And we really should have our 30-second commercial for that each of us have. Well, to Utah's core standards, that's how we need to talk
Utah
about it.
Utah core standards.
And we have our little 30-second commercial. Let me tell you what great things Utah's core standard. And the state board has adopted that cursive and handwriting are a part of that because in Utah, we value the ability to go through our family records. And da-da-da-da-da. You know, and I think we need to be there. You know our stuff on that one. I went to a lot of other classes, one of which was 5-second spills that people gave. And that was quite fascinating, but much more than I can ever give you here. So.
Okay, Jim.
I just reported on one session I went to and what I got out of that. Another one I went to was on marketing or branding your school district. And that's part of what I talked about as well. It's important that we try to engender the concept that Logan City School District is the school district in Logan City. And it's a great place to be. It's great to be a Grizzly. It's great to be a Wildcat. It's great to be whatever school you're at. It's great to have that kind of sense that there's a brand that says Logan City. And that it'll help to have a nice logo and to have that out for people to see. But it's always be great if we could go downtown and see the Grizzlies as prominent as we see the Aggies and have that be part of who we are. So that was kind of what I took out of that session. Another session I went to was on responding to media. And I think this was from a big school district back east, applied minimally to us in many ways. But they did have the importance of doing some things with responses to the media. And one slide here I thought was particularly good. Which I cannot find. One of them is never say anything you would not want to have repeated. Because they will definitely take whatever you say and make it into whatever they want to say. It's no comment isn't a good idea. Better to have a comment to make that is honest and straightforward and not politically correct, so that you don't make a statement that's really inappropriate. Do not repeat. You do not want to hear or read. If you've got bad news, it's important you break it. Don't wait for somebody else to break it.
If you what?
If you have bad news, break the news first. Okay. Don't wait for this media to break the news. And remember to have just two or three key messages you want to say. Do not wait for an emergency to get to know the media. Get to know the media ahead of time. And unfortunately, our current representative from the Herald doesn't seem to be very interested in being present very often. Remember that in an emergency, the media is a great communication tool. So if there's something really wrong, make sure that they get the news out. That's kind of what I picked up from that one that we shared. But those are the ones I can remember.
Very good. Marshall?
The one that I got the most out of.
I got the most out of your sister's dinner.
We have been, for the last 7 years, I have been, the data. I mean, when a lot of this, Lynn, when you were talking about having a spot where we could go to, and then the questions, and then
also the follow-up on where are we with things. To have data at a point where we have a clear, concise, and it's available. It's findable. Went to this where this was done by actually an NSVA process in Indiana with the Indiana School Boards Association. Tried this out in their state, but it was based upon some edicts from NSVA. They've developed a process where there are four different types of data. We always go to the student outcomes, but that's not all of the data that is there. And not all data is numbers. Much of our data is anecdotal, and we've got to make sure that we have that in the spot where we can go to. So what I've worked with staff and we're working with principals on is we're trying to develop a data dashboard that is based around these precepts so you can go in and hit baseline, and there will be baseline items there. And these are what they have stated. I've asked my principals.
So this falls under the achievement and communication, right?
Yes, it does. I mean, it allows us to meet some of the goals that you've asked us here, as well as meeting our what counts goals. So there would be a process where you would have availability, staff would have availability, our community would have availability. Obviously, different levels and different ability to drill down. But knowing that if you were looking for baseline data, this is where you go. When you're looking for resource alignment, this is what we're doing and we're talking about. And we have never really sat down and said, in our reading program, as we're looking at this, are we aligning all of our resources to the level that we need to? Are we maximizing everything? Have we maximized in the elementary our use of educational specialists? Could we do that differently? Could we do it better, more efficiently? There's lots of different words that you could use there. But this allows us to have further discussion from the data that is there. And one of the comments was consistency on use of data in decision-making processes. Part of that is having data that you can always refer to easily. This allows us to have that. So I'm working with Dave to get this built with Matt for next year. Some areas won't be as pretty yet as we can, but from this area we can go and have some of its links into the state stuff. But we'll have it so that it's very clear from those four quadrants, and that's how I also want to help bring back data to you on a consistent basis, that we not only have it available, but we share it, that we talk about it, and that part of our communication every month, in at least in work session, if not in board meeting, and I'm thinking it may be a board meeting just because we do happen sometimes to have people there, and if we are going to have a reporter, we happen to have a reporter there, they don't come to the work sessions, where we spend some time on this material so that we're constantly keeping our picture out there that we can then relay to. And Christy was talking about getting information out to our staff after board meetings. Well, if that's on our board meeting agenda, that's something we can report out on. So this is kind of an area, and this other one that came with it are just some of the questions under each of those areas that we can talk about. These are not all-inclusive, but that's the type of dialogue that we should be having on an ongoing basis as we look at the data. And then the final is just the implications for relevant information out to board members. I thought it was an interesting report that they gave. So that was the one I got the biggest bang from the buck on. And I apologize, I need to go and talk with this person, and then I need to go start fixing dinner. So we'll see everybody at 6 o'clock at my house, with spouses, and we don't have to worry this year about racing back to a board meeting. So
that is nice.
Yes, so it'll be fun, and
we can relax and enjoy ourselves.
It looks like the weather's
perfect.
So we'll have steak and chicken, and barbecuing, and pasta salad, fruit, rolls, and then a really nummy
and leftover desserts over there if you want to take them. Thank you, Marshall.
Is there anything you want us to bring?
Nope, we got it all.
Well, I wondered, we didn't have my wife in time to get off.
Zane!
Zane!
That's on the list.
The line at Hobby Lobby.
We should have put that as a number one thing for you.
That's on your number six.
Okay, can I bring my boyfriend?
Yep.
Or your daughter.
I just thought that would make you go like that.
Thank you, Marshall.
Hey, I run to my HEC board meeting.
Yes.
I missed the last one because it was when we were at USBA.
My boyfriend is my dog, Shirley.
Okay.
So,
perfect.
Anything else you're going to discuss?
Just what I talked about at NSBA, but
it's
insignificant. So,
I will say.
No, on that happy note, where's the thing? Oh.
Eva Lynn could do it at the next one.
Okay, I am going to adjourn this board meeting today at 3:58. Amen. There you go.
Nice job.
Well done.
Busy day.
We'll meet at Marshall's house.
Tomorrow we don't meet till 3, right?
We don't meet tomorrow till 5.
Oh, darn.
Thank you all.
Oh, I have to go into work tomorrow because she...
be done by 6:30.